All right, let's go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. I've got some of the scriptures on the board there, but this is going to be unlike what I usually do. We're going to do a topical, and we're going to be, I think it's important enough for you to turn to the passages tonight that I give you, and it's not. We're not going to be here long, okay? But I want to talk, the Lord has been burdening me about how Jesus builds his church, because there's a lot of wrong ideas out there about how that happens and a lot of wrong methods about how that's done. We're just going to look at what the Scripture says, okay? Would y'all agree with me? Our Scripture should be our guide, right? And how does Christ build his church? So tonight, again, is a topical sermon. It's departing from my Bible exposition, and where I stay with one passage or a paragraph. But Jesus Christ builds his church. But who does he use, and how does he use them? Y'all already know the answer, but I want you to be able to prove it from Scripture. He does it one way, by the saints going out. By the saints going out. It's never coming here, it's always go and tell, okay? By the saints going out. I won't go into all the methods out there and some of the churches and what they're doing and things like that. I'm just going to tell you what the New Testament teaches. Warren Wiersbe said this. I ran across this years ago, and I've always used it, and I like it. He said, Jesus came down. Jesus went up. The Spirit came down. The saints went out, and the sinners came in. That is God's method for building his church. We want the lost to come, right? But we want the lost to come without us going out, you know? And that's not God's plan. So first question, if you see on the menu, by the way, we're going to keep the screen for you folks in the church once we go to live stream. But the people at home, what they'll see is the outline one by one, you know. Who builds the church? Matthew 16, verse 13 through 19 is a very clear passage. I'm going to read it and going to make some comments and as we go. Again, it's not in-depth exposition, but I think it's the best way to develop this thought, how Jesus Christ builds his church. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? So we're going to learn something tonight, that we don't go by what the world says about Jesus. We go by what the Bible says about Jesus, right? Because all of those, a lot of people that claim to know Jesus are worshiping a wrong Jesus, not the Jesus that we know. And then they said, see, Jesus has been putting them through the test, through the laboratory. Now it's time to bring it home and see if they learned anything in verse 14. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? That's the question, right? Whom do you say? Aren't you glad today that we don't decide who Jesus is by popular vote? We don't decide who Jesus is by some kind of poll, right? Y'all do know, P-O-L-L, that you can make a poll, say whatever you want to, with the slant of the questions that you ask the people, right? And so I don't go by polls. You know, if you went by polls in the previous election, Trump had no chance, but he won, right? Well, I promise I ain't going to go no further with that, all right? He says, who do you say that I am? Now note verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if I had been there when Peter said that, I would have fell back and said, where in the world did you get that, Peter? You know? And thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Number here, I want you to see here, if anybody discovers who Jesus is, it's done by the Spirit of God, not by their humanity that's lost, okay? It's by divine revelation. And God said that, you know? And he said unto thee, thou art Peter, pebble, and upon this rock, boulder, I will build my church. Upon this rock, upon Christ, the chief cornerstone, and on also the confessions of faith for the people, right? And that's what Peter said. That was his confession of faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church is not built, as Catholics teach, on Peter. He was infallible. He was fallible. I mean, what is it? Infallible? Right? He could sin, right? He was fallible, yeah. And they teach that the Pope is infallible, right? He cannot sin. But Peter did. The church is not built on Peter. It's built on Jesus Christ with confessions of faith in Jesus Christ, right? And he said unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I've taught you this in years past. In the King James, the word hell has three words, Greek words. The one is Gehenna, the lake of fire, where people stay for eternity. The second one is Tartarus, which is the abode of the wicked angels. And the third one is what Jesus had in mind here, Hades, the abode of the dead. So, because it's often preached, this passage is preached, and I will argue with anyone. This passage is not teaching that the church is charging hell with a squirt gun and going to knock the door of hell down. That's not what this passage is teaching. This passage is teaching what Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and death will not stop me and death will not stop you, right? Hades is the abode of the dead. And that's what he's saying here. And he says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Anybody want to make a wild guess what the keys of the kingdom are? Have I not been with you so long, right? It's the gospel, right? He says, I give unto thee. And when did he exercise that? At Pentecost, after that, Peter got up and preached Christ, and about 3,000 souls came to Jesus. He gave them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we see that Jesus builds his church through his people, sharing the gospel, okay? Everybody got that? We're going to go slow tonight so even I can understand it, okay? Okay, that's how he builds his church. Now, second question, what is the Great Commission? At the end of every gospel, there's an invitation by God or Jesus where he's inviting us, the church, to come alongside him and share the gospel and be a part of building the kingdom of God, okay? Now, the first one I want you to go to is Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. At the end of every gospel book, there's an invitation. Christ is inviting us to be on mission with him in seeking and saving the lost, okay? Matthew 28, verse 18. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. By the way, that's good enough for me. Verse 19, go ye therefore. The Greek says, as you go. As you go. As you go in the marketplace, as you go out there, and as you're around out there, wherever you go, as you go, right? Y'all see that? The saints going out. As you go, therefore, teach. Greek word there means make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, all over the world. He said, go ye therefore, teach, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father by immersion, identifying with the gospel, identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Why? The Trinity. Why? Because all three persons of the Trinity were involved in our salvation, right? And so we go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Notice that. He says go. He said baptize. He says teaching them to observe. He doesn't say here, teach them all that's in the scriptures, although we do that. But he says here, teach them to observe all of my commandments, right? So we come alongside them after they're saved, disciple them and mentor them in their journey toward Christ likeness, teaching them to observe, right? right? Everybody see that? Okay? He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So how do we make disciples? See, we just don't get people saved. We are called to make disciples to grow in Christ-likeness, right? We do it by, let me give you how it's usually preached by a lot of preachers. We do it by going, baptizing, and teaching. That's how we do it, right? Now go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We're getting into the short rows tonight because we got conference. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Brother John Mills preached on this so well when he was here a few weeks ago. Mark 16, 15 through 16. And he said unto them, go ye, there it is again, as you go ye into all the world. That's nations, all people groups, all the world, right? One of the best ways we can do that is through missionary support and missionary effort, right? And he says, preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, to every creature. Just not only take the gospel to every nation, but he says, teach it and preach it to every creature, every human being, right? I had one person one time in a church I used to pastor said, well, see, Pastor Derek says it. My pet can be saved, right? You know? No. Your pet, that word there is talking about human beings, okay? To every creature, he says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. We're not Church of Christ. We don't believe that baptism saves. And that's true, okay? But salvation and baptism are almost synonymous. If you get saved, you want to be baptized, right? But notice what he says here. In the verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And they don't quote the next verse, the rest of the verse, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He does not say here, he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned, right? But he says here, he that believeth not shall be damned, right? Baptism does not save. Baptism is the first act of obedience of the person who gets saved as he follows Christ and identifies with him, right? Now go with me to Luke chapter 24. We got one more in John, but Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 49. I'll give you some time to get there. And we're looking at the Great Commission, which is given by Christ at the end of every gospel. It must be important if Jesus gave it to us at the end of every gospel, right? Look in Luke 24, 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. There it is again, all the world. Repentance, turning from your sin and believing that the only way to be saved is through the work of Jesus on the cross. Repentance is a turn. It's you turn toward Christ away from your sin, right? Now, wait a minute. You see, preacher, we all still sin because we have an Adamic nature. We have our flesh, right? And we still do sin, but we're convicted about that when we do it, right? And we want to repent of it, confess it, repent of it, and walk in obedience. And he says, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Let me say this. There's a lot of people that preach, all you got to do is believe. You don't have to repent. But Jesus himself said in Luke, repent and be saved, right? And it's not mentioned in the Gospel of John. I agree with that because John's purpose was talking to people about the deity of Christ. Believe in him that he is God, right? And he says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. By the way, this is just not for preachers. This is for everybody. Beginning at Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem? Anybody? It's right where you live, right? Beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. A witness is someone who tells what they've seen and what they heard, right? Well, we like to tell, you know, Baptists are great on gossip, but they're not much on the gospel, right? I mean, we like to share what we've seen or heard, right? And beginning at Jerusalem, verse 48, and you are witness of these things, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem. Remember Pentecost? They were told to wait 10 days in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit until ye be endued with power from on high. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the boldness and equips us to share the gospel, right? And then the last one, and we got one or two more. It's the last one on this question, okay? John 20, 21. Let's go there. John 20, 21. Don't worry about the thunder and the lightning. I'm not going to let you out among the wolves, okay? John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As, here it is, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. Question, what did the Father send Jesus to do? Huh? Yes? But that's not what I'm looking for. To seek and to save that which was lost, the Bible says, right? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. So if he says, Jesus says, I'm sending you to do what the Father sent me to do, right? Jesus is in the third heaven at the right hand of the Father. Now his church, his body is carrying out the work, and he's blessing the church, and he's working through the church and building his kingdom. So if we can say that the same thing that the Father sent Jesus to do, we are called to do, and so we are called to seek and to save that which is lost, right? Do you get it? The seeking to save that which is lost. There's a lot of churches doing a lot of different things trying to get people into the church. But I think you cannot improve on one sinner, one beggar going out with the gospel, telling another beggar how to find food, right? Y'all follow me? Okay. Going out, it's never come in here. It's going out. Now, lost people can come to church. But God's ideal method is for us to go out there, share the gospel with them. They come in and they make a public confession of faith and they're baptized and they grow in discipleship more like Christ, right? Now, if you want to argue with that, you're arguing with Scripture because that's what the Scripture tells. You'll not see anywhere in the book of Acts where Silas told Paul, wear a blue shirt because I hear people respond better to the gospel if you got a blue shirt on. Right? There's actually people that believe that. And I got one blue shirt, so I'm limited, right? It's none of that hogwash. It's going out and telling them about your story, right? Now, question number three, where are we sent? Go with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're almost through. Don't you love it when preachers keep saying that? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Where are we sent? We've already learned, right? To all nations and all the world, right? But the book of Acts outlines that for us. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus again talking to disciples before Pentecost, before they were indwelt, the Holy Spirit came down and indwelled them and empowered them to be witnesses. And the church was born, right? Huh? Acts 1:8. Yeah, it's on the screen, man. Okay. Acts 1:8. Okay. You keep him straight, Vicky. Acts 1:8. Y'all listen. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. First thing I want to share with you, he said, you shall be my witnesses. That word witnesses there, testify, give record of the gospel, what's happened to you. But it also, and we don't like this, is where we get our word martyr. You shall be my martyrs, right? Boy, I don't know what Joel Osteen does with that verse, do you, right? You shall be my martyrs, right? And you are witnesses. You go out and tell what you've seen and heard, right? And felt, too, if you want to. But feelings are subjective. They're not objective. Okay? It's interesting. I've taught you all this before. In Acts gives us the outline of the whole book of Acts right here in this one verse. He says, into Jerusalem. That's chapter 1 through 7 of Acts. And in all Judea and Samaria, that's chapter 8 through 12 of the book of Acts. And into the uttermost part of the earth, that's verses 13 through 28, Paul ended up at Rome and got beheaded. And Acts is still going on. We're still taking the gospel to the uttermost, right? Now, fourth question, how are we trained for the mission? If God has invited us to be on mission with him, the co-commission, we call it, the two together, he does the saving, we do the witnessing, then how are we going to be trained for that? Now, one more verse. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. We had a preacher in this pulpit not long ago that quoted that verse. I'll let Brother Jack buy your lunch if you tell me what preacher that was. Huh? Who? No. I still have trouble with that name, Spangle. Did you see on Facebook where they're traveling all up into Michigan and everywhere? They're like Brother Keith. They're eating at every restaurant they can come to. And, you know, Ephesians 4, 11, 12. I want y'all to see this. By the way, it was Brother, our homecoming preacher, Brother Glenn Scoggin. Look in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. He's talking about how God has gifted the church for what he's called them to do. And he gave some apostles, of course that office has ceased, and some prophets, we got the revealed word of God in our hand, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers or pastor teachers. Two offices in the New Testament as far as preaching goes is the office of evangelist and the office of pastor. Now we have an office of deacon who are servants and serve the church, right? But notice what he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. That's someone like Billy Graham that mainly deals with the cross. The pastor also deals with the cross like I did this morning and I will tonight. But my calling is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? My calling is to present everybody mature before Christ. That's why I take my calling serious. And you may tell me and think sometimes, I wish you'd get over that. No, I'm accountable for that, right? And notice what he says. Some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, or the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what we do. That's how we're equipped for this mission that God has invited us. We are equipped and perfected through the Word of God and the Spirit of God for the mission that God, whether it's a spiritual gift that we have for serving in the body of Christ, or whether it's going out witnessing, we are equipped for the work of the ministry to build up, edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. So the church grows numerically, right? And the church grows spiritually. If a church is not growing spiritually, more like Christ, they are not going to go on this great commission, right? Everybody follow what your pastor's saying. I mean, I'm surprised at myself tonight. I put these cookies on the bottom shelf, you know, and even I can understand it, right? So we see Jesus builds his church through us, right? We are his instruments. We see his invitation to join him, right? We see where we are sent, right? We begin at our home and we go forward. And then we see how we are trained, right? I gave you the gospel from the book of Romans this morning. I hope you wrote that down. If any of you want to go back and write that down, I will. But I like to use the Romans road because all those scriptures are in one book. And you can take that, the Romans, and you can turn them and show them, you know, from the book of Romans. It's called the Romans road. A lot of you are familiar with that. I know Brother Ray is, right? So this is how Christ builds his church. And any other method that surpasses the evangelism of the people going out, we're on the wrong road, right? Okay? You'd be surprised what some churches do to get a crowd, right? It's almost like it's a rodeo or a circus, you know? If we can just have this certain guy in our church, if we can just have this guy. I knew a guy in Moultrie one time, and he come from Jack Howell's way of thinking, as you may not know who that was, but he'd do anything to get a crowd. He put out brochures and flyers and says, come see this man that's going to be at our church tonight. He's going to jump 18 buses with a motorcycle. Okay? No, that is not the way we do it, right? We, as you go, right, share the gospel. You have influences I don't have. I have influences you don't have. You run in certain circles. I run in certain circles. And we all have different friends, most likely. We all have friends here. But this is the way Christ builds his church, okay? Now, I want to give an invitation tonight. I want to invite you to come to the altar or whatever. And say, Pastor, I want you to show me and I want you to equip me how to be a witness. You know, I'll be glad to meet with you. I'll be glad to hold a class. I'll be glad to do whatever. I've done it over the years several times. But I would like to, for you to come down to the altar and get serious about this thing, about being on mission with Christ. And doing what he said. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. Well, I've already showed you that every New Testament believer has been called to do it, right? We're all not a Billy Graham, you know. And we're all, you know, but you are you. And you can share your story, right? And they can't argue with your story, right? Because it happened to you, okay? Okay, as our musicians come forward, and Brother Marcus and Miss Wanda come forward, and you go ahead and be standing. What hymn are we going to be turning to, Brother Marcus? You go ahead and be standing.
All right, get your hymn book. Turn to page 252.